Please turn in your scriptures to Psalm 32. We'll be reading the entire psalm. Please rise as you are able for the reading of God's word. I am reading from the New King James Version. A psalm of David, a contemplation. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the draught of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you, in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Thus far, the reading of God's word. You may be seated. One of the biggest obstacles to peace in the Christian life are the things that we have done. We often hear of new believers, those who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, reflecting on their life before Christ and expressing much regret for the things they have done. Many Christians live with the consequences of the choices they made while they were yet unbelievers. But even those within the church struggle with the choices that they have made. It eats up the Christians because we know we should have known better. The most difficult time in the Christian life, in the Christian walk, is when the Christian is eaten up by their sin. The sad thing is that at times we do not even recognize our sin. Spiritual deadness, dryness, lethargy sets in. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you've confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I suspect that you do. But let me ask you this question. How is your spiritual walk today? And what in your life is hindering your spiritual walk and growth and that of those around you? In our text today, you will see that sin and its consequences consumes a man's strength. But confessing one's sin freely to God enables a man to unburden himself, for God takes that unbearable burden of your sin and removes it from you. We're looking at Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is one of a collection of 150 psalms that are written by some 8 different authors. It's a collection of prayers and songs and designed for worship. Psalm 32 is the last of a smaller grouping of psalms, beginning with Psalm 26. I should also mention that the book of Psalms is divided into 5 smaller books, and Psalm 32 is in the first of those smaller divisions within the larger book of Psalms. Psalm 32, as I said, is that last of a collection of psalms that begins with Psalm 26. In Psalm 26, the first 3 of those psalms, 26, 27, and 28, express trust in God. The last 3, 30, 31, and 32, express praise of God. And Psalm 33 in particular focuses on the forgiveness that is to be found in God alone. Psalm 32 is one of the psalms that David wrote for the use of God's people in worship. The last time we looked at this collection of psalms, we looked at Psalm 29, and you saw then that believers are called to glorify and worship God, who reigns powerfully as king. And I want to show you this morning, by God's grace, that God delivers those who freely confess sin to joyfully serve him. The weight of sin, the freedom of sin, and the warning concerning sin. First of all, the weight of sin. Notice the burden of sin and its consequences. As the psalmist expresses it, is too great for us to bear alone, no matter how hard we try. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. First of all, notice the burden that the believer, the burden and the blessing that the believer bears. First of all, the blessing. Notice it begins, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. That term blessed there carries with it the idea of happiness, of contentment. For in this particular instance, blessing refers to the bestowal of good that God has given to his people. This is a blessing that has been given directly from God to man, so that they are happy, that they are content with what they face. This blessing is a favor of God, even in the midst of difficulties. And what is a man blessed or blessed by? Blessed by? How is it that he is happy? Notice the four things that the psalmist says. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. What is transgression? Transgression is the violation of a law or of a principle or of a duty. When we talk about transgression, that word trans means across, gression, to step across or to go across. When you transgress, you step across the line. There is a law, there is a principle that has been set as the standard for obedience. And if you step across that line, if you step past that line, then you have transgressed that commandment. The psalmist says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now, isn't that interesting? The psalmist isn't saying that no one is without transgression. What is the psalmist assuming here? He is assuming that all have transgressed, all have stepped across the line. Now, what is that line that has been stepped across? It is, of course, the law of God. It is those Ten Commandments which we have read, as summarized by Jesus, that you are to love God with all your heart. You are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. This is the standard by which believers must live, the standard by which you and I must live. And the psalmist says, blessed is he whose transgression has been forgiven. Transgression. I have stepped across the line. Have you kept God's law? Have you kept it perfectly? Have you kept it mostly? Have you kept it a little bit? You know the answer to that, don't you? The answer is no. I haven't kept God's law and God's command. Therefore, I have transgressed God's standards. But the psalmist says, blessed is the man, or is he whose transgression is forgiven. What does it mean to be forgiven? Literally, in the original language, the word there is taken up or taken away. Blessed is he whose transgression is taken up and taken away, that it is removed from you. that it is no longer your possession. It is no longer a weight that will weigh you down. For you see, the violation of God's law alienates men from God, and it weighs us down so that we are burdened. You know the burden of sin, don't you? You know the struggle. How many times haven't you, I know I have, said something or done something, and then it just eats away at me, eats away at you? For you know that you have transgressed God's law. You have not loved God. And all you can see is that dark cloud of the sin that you have committed against one another. It just eats away at you. Blessed is he whose transgression, who's stepping across the line of God's standard, is forgiven, is removed from you. But not just that. Whose sin is covered. That word blessed is there again. Blessed is he whose sin is covered. What is sin? Sin is disobedience. Sin is any want of conformity or transgression of the law of God. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they disobeyed God, didn't they? What was the command that God gave to Adam and Eve? You may eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And what did Adam and Eve do? They ate. They disobeyed God's clear command. They transgressed his word. Sin is disobedience, deliberate disobedience to the commands of God. It is the willful violation of God's command. You see, sin is not something that we just fall into. Sin is not something that just happens to us. Sin is something that you do. You consciously do. Oh, you might say, I don't consciously choose to sin. I don't recognize that I sin. But you see, once Adam and Eve sinned, as the representatives of mankind, our nature is such that we sin and sin continually. That we can only sin. We can only transgress God's law. We can only disobey him. Even Scripture says that our very best works are as filthy rags in God's sight. You know, the good things that you do for others, they're full of sin and disobedience because they're not done out of a heart and a love for God. I'm not saying for that reason don't do these good things. You ought to be doing good things. You ought to be obeying the law of God. But in God's sight, we have disobeyed him. And we continue to disobey him. We continually disobey him. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we need to see this and recognize this. If we are to understand the great, marvelous love of God, which is where the psalmist gets to by the end of this psalm. But this is an unpleasant look at ourselves, at who we are. You see, and the psalmist says, blessed is he whose sin is covered. The idea of covered is, you know, these cover-ups. You hear a lot about cover-ups in the news where somebody has done something and they try to hide all the evidence and make the evidence point towards somebody else so that you can't see their own guilt and their own sin. You try to hide it, you try to bury it, you try to redirect it so it's out of sight and it can't be found. Blessed is he whose sin is covered. That is, it is hidden so that it can no longer be seen. But more than that, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is crooked activity. It comes from our English word iniquity comes from the Latin meaning not equal. It refers to the guilt and its associated punishment. You see, our sin causes us to be guilty. How would you say that? Our iniquity is our guilt for violating the law of God, transgressing the law of God, for our disobedience to the law of God. The psalmist says, blessed is he whose iniquity, whose guilt, to whom the Lord does not impute this iniquity. What does it mean to impute? It means to render to one's account, to assign to belong to. You know, we have in our day and age a little plastic card that we call a credit card, right? And you give that little credit card, and by handing that little credit card, you're saying, I'm good for this. I credit it to my account. The psalmist says, blessed is he to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Blessed is he to whom the Lord does not credit to our account our guilt. Think about that for a moment. We're guilty of violating God's law. We deserve the condemnation for our sin. Yet the Lord says, I will not credit it to your account. I will not hold it against you. It is as if it does not belong to you. And how is that possible? Brothers and sisters, you know how that is possible. It is possible because your sin, your transgression, your iniquity was imputed to Christ. Your sin was laid upon his back when he hung upon the cross. It is because Christ died for your sin that you are declared righteous in the sight of God. Brothers and sisters, that is the gospel of grace. That is what Christ has done for you and for me. My sin is no longer my own. Yes, I fight with sin. You fight with sin. But blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute his iniquity. That describes the life of a believer. That describes who a believer is. One who is forgiven because of Christ. Because of what Christ has done. And we don't know the half of that love of Christ. We don't know the half of the burden that he has lifted from our shoulders. We don't know the half of the burden that was placed on Christ on Calvary's cross. And he endured it all for you and for me, in order that you might be blessed of God. More than that, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. That is, there is no pretense. There's no false presentation of the facts. For you see, deceit is intended to convince others or oneself of something that is not true. Blessed is the man in whom there is no deceit. That is, blessed is the man who is honest with himself. Blessed is the woman who is honest with herself concerning her sin, his sin. I know I've referred to this proverb many times. It's a proverb that keeps coming back to me in my own life. All the ways of a man are right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. When you and I, when we look at ourselves, when we present ourselves to the world around us, we want to portray ourselves as having it all together, as being pretty good people. And often we're not honest with ourselves. But the man who is honest with himself, the woman who is honest with herself, who acknowledges their sin, is blessed. You see, often we just want to hide our sin. We want to sweep it under the rug. We want to put it away so that nobody can see it. We don't even want to deal with it ourselves. And when we do that, we're not blessed. We're not happy. For we know that under the corner of that rug there, our sin is peeking out at us and ever shouting at us and saying, you're not being honest. You're being deceitful one with another. Does this describe you? I know it describes me. But the psalmist says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit is no guile. Notice the burden of this sin, this burden of being dishonest. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the draught of summer. You get the picture? You get the picture of one who is burdened by his sin, who is weighed down by his sin, who can't even find a cup of water to quench his thirst, for his vitality is turned into that draught of summer, the dryness of the season in which there is no water being pouring down from the heavens, in which the plants cannot grow, where there is nothing to prosper. While I kept silent, the psalmist says, while I refused to acknowledge my sin and my guilt, my bones grew old. The idea of weakness, of frailty, of the inability to carry the load that you once used to carry. Remember when you were younger and how you could work all nonstop all day and even into the night, no problem. You could carry burdens. That when you looked at your father, you kind of laughed at him and said, he's an old man. That's what sin does. It ages, in that sense, the people. Through my groaning, we've had a number of people in our own congregation who have been struggling with much pain and affliction of sin. And we have those that face it on a daily basis. And the weakness that accompanies that. And this groaning is an audible sign of the struggle, of the weakness. And notice the psalmist says, all day long. It's an unending, unceasing struggle. I've been reading through the book of Job. And the book of Job, Job, you picture him sitting there in the ash heap, these boils covering his skin, painful, unable to lie down in comfort, in pain day and in pain at night. That's the picture of sin, the groaning that is associated with it. For you see, sin has a way of impacting one's physical and spiritual well-being. The vitality is turned into drought. Literally, the life substance, the cake, the life moisture is sapped out of the life, the spiritual life of a person, like the parched earth that cannot support the plants which are attempting to grow in it. That's what sin does. It sucks the spiritual life out of you. And if you don't think that's true, ask those who are burdened by their sin, and you will know that's true. Ask yourself. Sin, transgression, iniquity sap the life energy of the person. Sin haunts your thoughts. You're drawn to the sin, though you hate it. But brothers and sisters, there's a warning here. For many confess their sins. Many say they hate sins, yet they seem to enjoy their sins. They confess their major mess-ups, but the private little sins, they cling to those. Lord, I confess how bad a person I am, but I want to continue to do this little thing. It's really not affecting anybody, but it's that little sin that destroys a believer. It's the little sin that saps the spiritual life out of you. And to refuse to acknowledge sin leads to death, temporal and eternal. Selah. You'll notice that as I read through the scriptures and as I read through the Psalms, I pause at those at that word. Often as you notice people reading through, they just skip over that word as if it doesn't belong there. That word is there for a reason. We're not exactly sure what it means. We don't have a dictionary that says Selah means this. But as the history of the church has taught us, Selah comes from from the Hebrew term to lift up. And the idea is to pause, meditate, think about it. It's a brief pause. And as the scripture is read and you come to this Salah, and I pause. Think about what was just read. Think about what was just said by God. You'll see that it comes three times in this psalm, and it occurs throughout the Psalms. Make sure that as you read the scriptures, you include that. Because we don't just read the scriptures quickly through to get through it. We read that we might pause and consider, what is it that the Lord is teaching us? You see, God delivers those who freely confess their sin to joyfully serve Him. There is freedom from, you've seen the weight of sin, now notice the freedom from sin. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. God forgives those who acknowledge their sin and becomes their protector. Notice where the freedom comes from. I acknowledged my sin to you. What does it mean to acknowledge my sin? It means to admit that you have done it. Makes sense, doesn't it? Confess that I have sinned. But here's the thing. There are many people that say, I have done wrong. But they do not say, I have sinned against God. For you see, sin is ultimately against God. When we sin against one another, we are sinning against God. And to be freed from the burden of sin, you must confess that your sin has been against God. Your rebellion, you have rebelled against God. You have disobeyed His commandments. The psalmist says, I acknowledged my sin to you. You see, the Lord delights in a broken and a contrite heart, not a proud, rebellious heart, not a heart that says, I can do it on my own, I don't need you, God, but a heart that has been humbled, a heart that recognizes that it cannot continue on its own. You see, when a believer comes to know the Lord, they must come to a place where they say, I cannot live this life without you, God. I cannot live this life without your strength. I cannot fight my sin without the strength of your Spirit at work in me. Isn't that true? Those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't that the essence and the heart of your conversion and your confession and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you remember that moment when you recognized, I can't, but God can? That's the gospel. I acknowledged my sin to you. He says, and my iniquity I have not hidden. And that verb hidden there is that same verb that is in verse 1, whose sin is covered. I have not hidden my iniquity. I have not covered my iniquity. I have not covered my guilt. I have not sought to hide behind the facade of godliness. I have not sought to hide behind the facade of righteousness. I have not attempted to keep my sin hidden from your sight, O God. Not primarily from the sight of men, but from the sight of God. For God knows all things. How foolish it is to think that He doesn't know our sin. He doesn't see our sin. Blessed is he whose sin is covered. And my iniquity I have not hidden. Do you notice the difference here? In verse 5, I have covered my sin. I have attempted to hide it away. But notice, blessed is he whose sin is covered. Someone else covers your sin. And if that's the case, then you are blessed. And who covers your sin? You know it. The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you and I, when we hide our sin, it burdens us. It bears us down. It destroys us. But when Christ covers our sin, it frees us. That's the kind of freedom that I want. Do you? Do you want that freedom that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ alone? Then confess your sin to Him. Throw yourself before Christ at the cross. For there you will find forgiveness. And what does the psalmist say? I will confess my sin, my transgression to the Lord. I will confess, Lord, I have stepped over your law here and 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 here. Forgive me for the sake of your name. I humble myself before you. I abhor myself in your presence. I am a sinner in need of your grace. I cannot get it on my own. And what does God do? Does he turn a blind eye? Does he turn away? Notice what the psalmist says. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You forgave the guilt of my sin. Yes, we have transgressed the law of God. Yes, we have disobeyed the law of God. Yes, we are guilty of breaking the law of God. And yet God forgave the iniquity, the guilt of your sin and of my sin. That is amazing. Brothers and sisters, if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, then your sin is forgiven. Yes, you battle with the power of sin. For this side of eternity, sin continues to bring us down. But you are freed from the guilt of sin. Yes, even now, the blood of Christ has cleansed you. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, then there is but one end that awaits you. You will continue to bear the burden of your sin. It will continue to bring you down. It will continue to haunt you. It will continue to mar everything you do. It will continue to disrupt and destroy every relationship that you have. But it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus says, if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You are invited today to confess your sin to God and to turn from it and rest in Christ alone. He is the only hope that you have in this life and in the life to come. Oh, don't waste this moment by clinging to your transgression. Do not persist in your sin, your disobedience. Do not be like those who delight in their guilt and iniquity, but rest in Christ. Trust in Him. In a few moments, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. The bread and the wine remind us exactly of what Christ did. His body was broken on the cross. His blood was shed from His nail-pierced hands and feet and side in order that your sin might be covered, that your transgression might be removed, that your iniquity might not be imputed to your account. Let us pray.